This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Now we thank you, for you are the center of our joy. Every moment, every fiber of our being, we give you praise. Thanksgiving for this hour. Now, Father, we ask now you speak to me and speak through me, that your word will go forth. Touch a heart. Convict, convert, and comfort. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. In the book of Daniel, Book of Daniel, chapter 6. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, commencing at verse 16. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into a den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Yes. Go down now to verse 22. My God sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I want to talk about through prayer, I'm still here. Thank you, Ursus. Through prayer, I'm still here. I thank God that he answers prayer. And I'm glad God is not like the society or humanity, because it would be difficult for us if we would call heaven and we would get responses like this. If you're calling heaven, please select one of the following four options. For requests, press 1. For thanksgiving, press 2. For complaints and inquiries, press 3. For troubles and trials, press 4. And then when you press one of them, you would hear something like this. All angels are helping somebody at this moment. Please stay on the line. And your call will be answered in the order it was received. For reservations to my father's house, press J-O-H-N, followed by the numbers 316. The office is closed on the weekend. Please call us again Monday. But I'm so glad when I call God, he answers. And I cannot tell you, the answer that he gives you might not always be the answer you want, but it'd be the answer you need. And one thing about God, even when you're calling God, there are times he will put you on hold. And when you notice when you call a line and they put you on hold, they give you some kind of music to keep you entertained until someone pick up the line. One thing about God, he doesn't give us no music. He just keep blessing us. He just keep waking us up. He keep giving us strength in the midst of our trouble until he answers the line. My brothers and sisters, I thank God for the privilege of prayer. Because when you look at prayer, it has divided seas and rolled up rivers. Prayers have made rocks gush out fountains. Prayer have quenched flames of fire and muzzled lions, disarmed vipers and poisons. Prayers have stopped the course of the moon and arrested the sun in its race. It has birthed open the iron gates and recalled souls from eternity. Prayer have brought you from the gates of hell to the doorstop of heaven. And I wish somebody can testify this morning and said, if it had not been for prayer, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'm not talking about you praying for yourself, but when you were too ignorant to live, didn't know which direction you were going, somebody prayed for you. Believe it or not, you and I are here on answered prayer. Grandma prayed, the prayer wasn't answered. She may be in the grave, but God is still answering Grandma's prayer. Come on along with me this morning. I'm here by the grace of God, and I'm glad that somebody took a little time to pray for me when I could not even pray for myself. Prayer has brought one man to the bottom of the sea, and yet that same prayer has carried another man in a chariot of fire to heaven. Prayer can change things. Prayer is an awesome, mighty force that God has given us the privilege to tap into. And what we have done, we have contaminated this privilege. Because what we want to do with prayer, we want to get before the people and pray elaborate prayers so they can say, can't nobody pray like you. Baby, God didn't give us this privilege for you to pat me on the back. God says prayer is so powerful because I will bless you more in private than I would in public. While you praying in public to be seen and heard of men, I'm going to bless the one that went in the closet and closed the door behind him. Could nobody hear the prayer but me? I wish I had somebody. If you pray in private, he'll bless you publicly. We have the nerve to put a competition on. I'd like to get him or her to pray because can't nobody pray like them. Who lied and told you that? Because I've discovered in the Bible, Reverend Dearborn, the one, the prayers that moved God was not long prayers, not prayer preliminary, just Lord have mercy. If somebody get up on devotion and say, Lord have mercy, amen, that's a prayer. And I think if somebody say, Lord have mercy, we all ought to respond to that. Because if it had not been for mercy, see, it's not the words that you say, it's the motive behind the words that you speak. And I'm not saying my prayer to make you feel good and jump. I want God to hear what I have to say. Whew. Have you ever got in prayer with God and you didn't utter a word? You just got on your knees and was silent? Because the Bible says all things must be done in decency and in order. God is a God of order. And God is a God of respect. In other words, my mother taught me that when a grown person is talking, you keep your mouth shut. Don't speak while I'm talking. And sometimes you talk too much. Sometimes you need to get down and just be silent and let God talk to you. As we look at the text that is before us, a new king is on the throne. His name is Darius. And King Darius allows the Jews to return to Israel to rebuild their temple. But yet most of the exiles decided to stay in Babylonian because they had got accustomed to the Babylonian lifestyle and culture. And after some years of being influenced by God's people, Babylon was still unchanged. The rulers have, have changed, but they still was adulterous. They still worshiped idols. They were cruel and they were wicked. There have been no great revivals in Babylon. But Daniel was there. And Daniel, even in the midst of all of these pagans, was still faithful to God. Daniel still prayed to God. It made him no difference how many idols was erected in Babylon. Daniel knew who Jehovah was, and he prayed to God. They erected new idols, and even some of those that were converted started leaning over to the lifestyle of the Babylonians and started praying and worshiping these idols, God. But Daniel was faithful to God. Let me say it again. There was idols all around Daniel. Everybody was bowing down to the idols. People, adulterous, was all around Daniel. But Daniel was committed and dedicated and prayed to God. Everybody else was doing it. People in leadership was doing it. But Daniel said, no, I'm here not by what an idol has done. I'm here for how God has blessed me. In other words, I'm not going to bow down to an idol man made, but I'm going to bow to a God who made man. He says, I am going to pray to God 3 times a day, regardless of any rules. I believe that the Bible, that we should obey the laws of the land. But anytime those laws contradict with God's law, I don't care anybody in Washington tell me you cannot worship God anymore. I'm gonna be in jail right away. Because I'm going to praise God, and I'm not going to do it secretly either. I'm going to let the world know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, you're not going to shut my praise up. You're not going to tell me to be silent, because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I got to bless the Lord at all time, and praise got to continually be in my mouth, because he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He blessed me. He kept me. He brought me. He lifted me. He turned me. He helped me. He healed me. I wish I had somebody to testify that it was all about him. But Daniel, being faithful to God, drew some jealousy from some of his peers. And they were trying to find something on Daniel. Let me tell you, in verses 1 and 3 of chapter 6 of Daniel, you will find Daniel's position. Darius had 120 princes to rule over the kingdom. And these men would ensure that Darius and the kingdoms were protected from theft, tax evasion, and military revolts. But over these 120 princes, there were 3 men over them, and there was 1 man over those 3, and his name was Daniel. In other words, Daniel answered directly to the king. Y'all just missed it. Daniel was a slave, but Daniel was second in charge. Here are people that have been in the kingdom that was born Babylonians. Daniel came there as a slave. But Darius saw something in Daniel that he didn't see in the people that was born and raised there. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. Wait a minute. We were born and raised here. You bring a slave and put over us. And listen, they tried to find something on Daniel and couldn't find it. I come to tell you, when you know people after you, don't give them the rope to hang you. They couldn't find nothing on Daniel. There's got to be something that we can go in and report to the king, because we didn't want him over us. Can I bring this closer to home? Church members, don't get upset because you've been in Mount Zion all your life and a new person come in and start working. Don't have a little sidebar meeting because you've been sitting on the pew for 40 years, but this brother and sister just joined last week and they're already up working. You can't get mad at them. You had 40 years to get up and do something, but you stayed on the pew. This person didn't join the church to stay on the pew. They came in here to get to work, and while you're sitting there complaining, you should have been up working. They say, see, there's nothing new under the sun, because what you have here is a sidebar meeting. They said, now, we going to find something on him. And so they looked, and looked and couldn't find nothing on Daniel. But one thing they discovered, Daniel prayed three times a day. In Jewish culture, they would pray three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And they said the only thing we can get him on is prayer. But how can we get him? I got an idea. Let's go to the king and tell the king for 30 days, won't nobody petition no other God but you. Stroke his ego. You mean for 30 days I will be the center of attraction? I'll be the man, no idols, no God, just me. For 30 days, king, you deserve this. And he signed a decree that if anybody would pray to any other God within 30 days, would be thrown the same hour into the den of lions. See, we've been saying it wrong for years. You've been saying the lion's den. A lion's den can be empty. But this said a den of lions. That means that it was full. And so Daniel heard about it. He heard about the decree that was signed. Daniel didn't get scared. He didn't say, I better stop this. Daniel said, well, let me open up the windows. That way, they ain't got to peep through the keyhole. They can pass by the house and see I'm still on my knees praying. You a sad circle of circumstance if you let people stop you from praying to God. If you let people stop you from worshiping God. If you let people stop you from praising God. And listen, I'm not naive. I know everybody is not here for the same reason. Some people show up just to see who shows up. Some people shows up just to see who doesn't show up and who will show up. Some people just sit in the back of the church and counting the people. And if it be one less than last Sunday, they'll go back. Y'all know the church is declining. Watch this. But then you have that small group shows up. Not concerned about how many people are in church. Not concerned about what you have on in church. Not concerned about how long church is. They show up to give God praise and to give God worship and to give God thanksgiving. Regardless of the hell they had last week, it doesn't take away from the fact you've been good to me. Can I get that small group just to stand up for a moment and say that we're not popular? That's okay, but God hears our praise. God hears our worship. And I'm not here to count you. I want to count my blessing. Daniel said, I'm going to open it up. The windows toward Jerusalem. And I'm going to pray. And I don't care what they say. God deserves my prayer. And you know, there are times when you're not going to have time for prayer preliminaries. Here it is, your child need a bent body and already bowed. You didn't heard me pray days have passed and gone, and I know you'll hear me pray now. But don't you know there are times we ain't going to have time for all that? You got to get directly to the point. Because if you're driving along and your tire go out and you're going head on with an 18-wheeler, you ain't got time. Lord, here it is, your child need a bent body and already tried. You heard me. You're going to say, Lord, have mercy. Daniel, when the writing was signed, he went in his house in verse 10 and went into his chambers and opened up the windows toward Jerusalem, and he began to pray. And oh, when they saw him. They said, oh, we got him now. We got him just where we want him. And you got to be completely out of your mind to mess with a praying child of God. It's just like you putting a gun to your head playing Russian roulette. Because they have a direct line to the man who has control over your life. He can speak and you can lay down and die. He can speak and trouble can come your way. And when somebody has a direct line to God, you better leave them alone. He said, I'm going to pray anyway. And they said, didn't you not sign a decree that the same hour you'd be thrown into the den of lions? And yet, well, Daniel, he's done it. He has disregarded you. Your signet is on the decree. That means it is law and it cannot be broken. Whew. King was so upset. Because he loved Daniel. He had no idea what they were doing. And they said, you have to stand by your signet. And look what the king did to Daniel. In verse 16, he commanded that they bring Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And he said unto Daniel, the God whom you serve, will he deliver you? He says, Daniel, my hands are tied. I can't stop this. But the God that you're praying to, will he deliver you? They put a stone and laid it upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it and signed it with his signet. And oh, my brothers and sisters, y'all watch your praise cue. Watch this in verse 16. The king, after verse, I'm sorry, not verse 16, look back to verse 18. And then the king went to his palace, passed the night fast, and neither instruments, or he didn't want to hear no music tonight. He even stayed up all night. His sleep went from him. Y'all missed it. The king is in his palace, comfortably, but can't sleep. Daniel is in a den of lions, knocked out. Let me say it again for the spiritually hearing impaired. The king is in his palace, got a huge king-side bed and everybody waiting on him hand and foot. He don't even want to hear no music. He don't feel like eating. He's lost his appetite. He's lost his comfort. He can't sleep at night. And Daniel is in a den of lions. When God is on your side, he'll make your enemies stay up while you have a good night's sleep. I wish I had somebody to testify. James 4 and 8 says this, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, Daniel slept well. Hold on to music. I'm going to need y'all in a minute. Daniel slept well in a den of ferocious lions. Daniel slept well. Let me tell you what God did. God already knew what was going to happen to Daniel. While Daniel was praying those three times after receiving the news that he may lose his life, I believe Daniel could have said, Lord, whatever happens, it doesn't matter to me because I still have the privilege of prayer. I'm not going to stop praying regardless of what threats they give me. I'm going to pray to you, God. I believe that he might have borrowed something from David. Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil because you are with me. Watch what God did. Y'all ready? God went in the den before Daniel. And God talked to the lions. Told the lions, I have a child who's going to spend a night with you. When he gets sleepy, I want you to lay down and become a pillow for him. If he gets cold, I want you to cover him up with your fur and keep him warm. And if you do this, and I know you're going to do this, I'm going to feed y'all in the morning. Put a pen there. I'm going to feed y'all in the morning. Remember, if you do this, I'm going to feed y'all good in the morning. I know you may be, your stomach may be growling, but you taking care of my child, I'm going to feed you in the morning. Listen, keep that there. Keep that in the morning feeding. Keep that in your mind. He said, I'm going to bless you. You've been good to me. You obeyed me. You took care of my child. I'm going to feed you in the morning. Daniel stayed all night with ferocious lions and still was unharmed. Don't get upset, children of God, because you have ferocious lions around you trying to eat up your flesh, trying to set traps for you. The same God that took care of Daniel will be the same God that'll take care of you. Verse 19, the king ran early in the morning. He ain't sleep at all. Bags all under his eyes. He went to the den early in verse 19 the next morning. He said, and when he came, he cried in verse 20 with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. He said, Daniel, oh Daniel, servant of the living God. Is that God whom you service? Continually able to deliver you from the lions. Daniel looked up, moved the lion over like a pillow, moving the cover off of him. Looked up at Daniel while the lions was all around, said, oh, king, you just gonna live forever. We good. The lion's stomach was growling, but they couldn't eat him. Satan's stomach may be growling, trying to devour you, but when God is on your side, Daniel, in essence, was telling the king, while they were trying to set me up, I was praying for God's hand of protection. And watch this in verse 22. He said, my God sent an angel